The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We are back here on the Pack-A-Day Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Reminder that the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis is coming up next from 9 to 11. Mitch, Mason, if you guys are listening, I have to know, is it time to sell? Is it time for the Bucks to sell already? Is it all, like, I guess you kind of have to wait till Middleton gets back, but I want to know. I'm hoping to hear from you guys on the show today if it's time, because it's not been a stellar start to the season for the Milwaukee Bucks. But that is for next show. We're talking Packers here today, of course, and I'm so excited right now to be joined by Alex Becerra of Bassaraski Productions over on YouTube. You can find him on Twitter at Bassaraski. Alex, my friend, how the heck are you doing?
I'm doing great, Andy. Thanks for having me on. I just learned it's your birthday, so I first wanted to say happy birthday to you.
Hey, thank you so much for that. I appreciate that a ton. Yeah, we've got a lot to discuss. I thought it was a really interesting week 10 in the NFL. Let's just start right there. Any key takeaways for you from this past week? Obviously, we didn't get those Lions and Vikings losses that maybe we would have liked, but still a very exciting week in the NFL. What did you take away from it?
Yeah, I was keeping eyes on, obviously, the division opponents. As a Packers bye week, and you kind of just sit back and you hope for all three to lose. But when you see eight interceptions thrown, I wouldn't expect Caleb Williams to have zero in a week for the NFC North, and a week Jordan Love didn't play. So, you know, it hurts to see both the Vikings come out with a late win there against the Jags. The Jags, you know, with an early lead there. And then last night, of course, you know, for Jared Goff to throw five interceptions and the Lions still come away with a win there, not only shows their resilience as a football team, but it's just like I really wanted the Texans to pull that one away last night.
It really would have been nice. And I'm just thinking back, and I'm thinking out loud here, so correct me if I'm wrong. The Texans game was the game where the Packers threw three picks and came away with a win, right?
I believe it was, yeah.
Which is crazy if you think about it from a Texans standpoint, that they, between the games against Green Bay and the Lions game last night, got eight interceptions from Love and Goff combined and lost both of those games. That's a brutal outcome for the Houston Texans, but just thinking of that out loud. All right, I wanted to talk to you, obviously, about Green Bay Packers primarily, and specifically, I know you talked about on your show, Edgerrin Cooper, and the potential need for him to get more snaps. He's obviously been a big-time impact player when he's been on the field, but walk me through the decision, or at least the argument for Edgerrin Cooper getting more snaps.
Yeah, I think we've just had a lot of inconsistency at linebacker, and Edgerrin Cooper hasn't been perfect by no means, but when I watch him and I watch his film, I think he does a lot correct. I feel like in terms of what the Packers are running, they like to run a lot of stunts, a lot of pressures from their linebackers. I think he does an excellent job at that due to his speed, due to his athleticism. And then when I watch multiple times in coverage, the Packers love to show, you know, double-A gap pressure, bail out into a Tampa 2. Primarily, you saw the main one against the Jags where he, you know, tracked Christian Kirk all the way down the middle of the field, broke that ball up. Unfortunately, Kirk got hurt on the play. And like I said, there's definitely inconsistencies, but I still think his snap share right now is still way too low. I believe he's at like 238 snaps. For a comparison, Eric Wilson has 230, so right around the same mark. McDuffie's at 391. And what really confused me was when Quay Walker went out with a concussion, I really expected a little bit of a snap increase by Edgerrin Cooper, and that was actually his least snaps since week five. I believe that was week eight when Quay was out with a concussion. So overall, I think this guy just has a ton of athleticism, and I think it just comes down to just getting him on the field, and he'll continue to learn, and he'll continue to get better.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Just to go back for a second, it was two interceptions against the Texans. It was three turnovers against the Texans. So they did lose it 3-0, but still crazy for the Texans. But just, yeah, to go back to Edgerrin Cooper here. I totally agree with you in the fact that he's obviously been, I think, one of their most consistent playmakers. And one of the interesting things, as you said, by no means has he been perfect, but he has been somebody that even when he takes a false step or makes a wrong move or maybe shoots the wrong gap, he usually still finds a way somehow to get involved in the play and kind of make a play. It's an interesting situation where, to your point, you know, Quay has not played well this season. Eric Wilson has made some really good plays and some really big games and some not so great plays in some other games. He's been very inconsistent, as you mentioned. McDuffie's been up and down. So it's not like there's this group of linebackers that are like, oh, you know, maybe they're not as explosive and playmaking as Edgerrin Cooper, but they're, you know, really good still. They're consistent. It's like, no, they have their issues too. So if you're going to have issues with any of the guys, well, then get the best playmaker out on the field. And that certainly seems to be Edgerrin Cooper.
Yeah, I 100% agree on that. And plus the youngest of the group and just, you know, get them on the field, have them learn that way is my opinion.
Yeah, the biggest long-term playmaker for sure. And I think somebody who can turn into Pro Bowl, maybe even All Pro. I think he has that sort of potential. So yeah, you're going to go through a little bit of a learning curve, but it's probably going to be worth it in the end. All right, on that same token, I'm curious if there's anyone else on this roster that you've been watching through the first half of the season that you feel like maybe needs to play less, or maybe somebody that you just feel maybe needs to play more, and maybe that's a similar position for both guys.
Yeah, when I looked at this and I was thinking of which players, I don't have any on offense. I feel like, obviously, when Luke Musgrave comes back or is able to come back, I just think we need to still get him more involved in the offense because it was, you know, kind of a shock to see the lack of production for him in the beginning of the season. But on defense, there's a little bit of confusion a few weeks ago where we saw Carrington Valentine pretty much getting zero defensive snaps. And I thought he had a pretty promising rookie season, and albeit in a completely different scheme under, you know, Joe Barry. But when you look at the lack of production, in my opinion, from Eric Stokes, it makes it even more confusing for me because, you know, this is really Eric Stokes' last chance to prove his worth, you know, as a former first round draft pick. So at this point, I think Valentine may be better fit for the Jeff Hafley scheme. I think he's more physical style type of cornerback. And then also we were talking about linebackers and maybe he's just simply not ready, but we've seen zero defensive snaps from Tyron Hopper. So I'm interested to hear your take on that. Not saying he could play better than some of these guys, but to see absolutely zero snaps is a little bit of a confusing one to me. And then Carl Brooks, I've been huge on Carl Brooks since we drafted him a couple of years ago, and he's seen about 40% of snap share, but 26% last week, and he has 9 total pressures. So I always want to see more Carl Brooks.
Yeah, I'm with you on Carl Brooks. I think the Hopper thing is interesting. I guess where I'm at sort of with the Hopper thing right now is I thought maybe when Quay was out, they would get him a handful of snaps, just something, because we hear all the time of how they want to see some of these players, just these rookies, just get playing time, get on the field. They know they're going to make some mistakes, but they want to get them that experience. And I thought for sure when Quay was out, like just even 5 to 10 snaps, maybe a package here or there, just to get him a little bit of that experience. To me, when that didn't happen, it was pretty clear of like, all right, he's just a special teams guy in a red shirt season as a linebacker. And I would not mind seeing him maybe even in some base defense snaps. And again, just getting him a handful of plays here and there, but when it didn't happen when Quay was out, it just...
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Felt like, all right, he's clearly number 5 on the pecking order, and that's probably not going to change. And you're like, we already just talked about, right? Like, they're already trying to find ways to probably get Edgerrin Cooper more on the field. And if you're trying to get him more on the field, then probably Tyron Hopper is just a non-starter, where there's probably not many other leftover snaps for him. But if there are injuries or if something does happen or if he does get some playing time, I would love to see it because I think there's certainly a lot of talent there. But Green Bay has not had the propensity to do it. And then just going back to Carrington Valentine, I've talked about this probably too much at this point. There's always that one player every single year that continues to get playing time that you're just scratching your head and you can't figure out why. And I think this year it's Eric Stokes, and you just can't figure out, like, why is he over Carrington Valentine? Green Bay clearly has their reasons. They certainly have a lot more visibility on what's going on inside the building and why they would make that decision. But it's really tough to make heads or tails of it on the outside and figure out why he would be playing ahead of Carrington at this time, who, by the way, I think, and I don't know if you would agree with this, but when Carrington has gotten on the field, he's looked pretty darn good. There haven't been any egregious mistakes when he's been out there.
No, I agree. I think he's definitely looked, and again, it's a smaller snap share. He only has, I believe, like 74 snaps in coverage compared to Stokes' 225. But when you look at Stokes, I mean, he allows nearly like 70% completion percentage, 110 quarterback rating. So it's, I just really haven't seen or liked what I've seen from Stokes at all. And I think, you know, there's just more potential there with Carrington Valentine. I feel like at this point, we know what we have with Eric Stokes, right? He's been starting for a decent bit for us for a long time, for a few years now. Where Carrington Valentine, you saw it last year, he kind of had that same demeanor, the same swagger have you as Jair Alexander out there early on in that season last year. So I feel like we need more of that.
No, I totally agree. And again, you didn't pick up the fifth-year option on Eric Stokes. Carrington Valentine still has 2 years on his rookie deal after this season. It just, like, just make the switch. It's not like, even if Carrington is like half a degree worse, which I don't believe. I think Carrington's better. Like, still make that and try to see if you can get playing better even by the end of the season. So that one's a very tough one to swallow. All right, we're joined again by Alex Becerra of Bassaraski Productions on YouTube. Again, you can find him on Twitter at Bassaraski. Let me ask you this, Alex. What would you say you learned about this Packers team in the first half of the season?
I'm sure a lot of us have said the same thing, where it's a lot of self-inflicted wounds, a lot of issues with penalties. The Packers are 10th in the NFL in penalties. In terms of giveaways, they're 11th with 13, but they're still plus 6 in turnover differential, so they've also been taking away the ball a lot. And more self-inflicted wounds, including drops. And, you know, the third most in the NFL with 23 drops. Now, that was before this week 10, so that'll obviously get updated, but still, they've had a lot of drops. But saying all of that, you know, they're still a good football team, and I think when those things will get cleaned up, and they will continue to get better. So, you know, I really think it just comes down to cleaning up the self-inflicted wounds for the Packers.
Yeah, I think so too. That's obviously been really one of the main storylines of the first half of the season, is Packers almost feel undefeated, because in the 6 games they won, and the other 3 they beat themselves. So they've won a game every single week. Unfortunately, 3 of those were against themselves. Not to take away anything from the teams that beat them, or were good teams, but Green Bay just didn't even really have the level of performance that we are usually expecting to see out of them. And it's been disappointing to see that it's been a kind of consistent issue through the first half of the season. If Green Bay, outside of the self-inflicted wounds, if Green Bay wants to make this epic run in the second half of the season and, you know, get obviously to the playoffs and make a run in the playoffs and hopefully beyond that, what's something that they're going to have to do a much better job of in the second half of the year? Again, outside of maybe those self-inflicted wounds.
I would say, man, it's a hard question because it's a loaded question. I feel like just getting more continuity on offense with Jordan Love and these receivers. I mean, we see time and time, and I know this is kind of still a self-inflicted wound with the drops, but we see time and time again with players like Dontayvion Wicks has a ton of drops. Romeo Doubs has some. I think every receiver honestly has like 3 or 4. I think just getting the continuity there. It still seems like we're kind of like a half step back on offense, and maybe that has to do with Jordan Love's lack of mobility. I was watching some of his highlights last year, and I was making like a compilation of tight window throws, and I was like, wow, he looks so much quicker, you know, escaping the pocket or moving around back there than we've seen this year. And that makes sense with, you know, obviously the left MCL injury, the left calf injury as well. So I think getting healthy is also obviously very, very important for this Packers football team. But I like what they're building on defense. I think, you know, having more turnovers than last year, I think at week like 6 or 7, I think it was, is huge. And obviously winning the turnover differential is huge. And it seems like we finally also have a kicker that can be consistent. So I think that's massive. But yeah, I think just a little bit of continuity on that offense is something that I believe this needs to get cleaned up a little bit. Some play calling in some situations where, you know, just like last week against the Lions, where, you know, 2nd and 1, we pass the ball, 3rd and 1, we pass the ball. Now we're 4th and 1 near the goal line, near the 10. And it's like, well, now they know we're going to run. So there's just a little bit of continuity things to get cleaned up, in my opinion. I think this offense is still trending in the right direction, though.
Yeah, I love that one a lot. We did a bold predictions episode for Pack-A-Day today, and I said one of my bold predictions is that this offense is going to explode in the second half. And I think Jordan getting healthy and them finding that rhythm is going to be huge for them, and I expect them to play so much better because, again, we saw it in the second half of last year. This is a super talented team. They're just going to kind of have to get in that rhythm, and I'm very much hoping that can start against Chicago this week. The other one that I would put in this category is getting a little bit more effectiveness from their pass rush in the front four, and that kind of brings us to the Preston Smith trade. Let me start by asking this. Who do you want to see take those additional snaps? And I know it's only been in like the low 20s recently from Preston, but who would you like to see get a little bit more playing time in Preston's absence?
I'm a big believer in Lucas Van Ness. I know a lot aren't, and he's been wildly inconsistent, but he's also, you know, a 23-year-old player. I still think LVN and Inagbare will kind of see like a equal rotation. That's kind of where they've been at. I think both of those might just get heightened. But I think we can also agree that maybe we want to see a little bit more of Aaron Mosby. I mean, we saw him make a play. I know Penei Sewell kind of tripped on his right guard there, but he still made the play. It still counts. So I would like to see more of these players. I'm not so sure how I feel about Brenton Cox at this point. The fact that the Packers put on Aaron Mosby over him says a lot. But I'm a big believer in LVN.
Yeah, the Brenton Cox thing is interesting. There's a good chance to me that Brenton Cox is still one of the inactives if you kind of look at how the roster is set up. So we'll see if they use him and they utilize him and get him active. I mean, at this point, if you don't, it's like what's the 53-man roster spot for at this point? Like just going a different direction, I guess. But we'll see. If he does get the opportunity, I'll be excited to see if he can do anything with it. But I agree with you. I think LVN, Enigbari, and Rashawn Gary are going to be the clearly the three most snapped defensive end / edge rushers. And then I do think Mosby gets a little bit of playing time. I am curious. We have seen Preston drop into coverage from time to time, and I am interested to see like Mosby would actually make some sense. He's played some off-ball linebacker in the past, and then I would also be interested just to see. We've seen a smattering of plays where Carl Brooks will kick outside. There's still the idea of maybe again, especially if it could be somebody who drops into coverage. Could you maybe use a little bit of Quay Walker there? I'm excited to see if maybe Green Bay gets a little bit more creative with that spot. But either way, do you think that this like it was a surprising trade? Did you think this was a net loss, or did you think this deal made sense for the Packers?
I think it made a lot of sense. It was actually when I was going over some trade candidates on my channel and maybe, you know, who we'd look at, which obviously for Packers fans, just a pipe dream at this point. But I also talked about, you know, some players they might trade away. And the two of which, because we heard rumors of it a couple weeks before the trade deadline, was Preston Smith and Andre Dillard. And when you really looked into the Preston Smith contract, which was still a crazy contract at the time, it just made a lot of sense for them to get rid of that contract. And then obviously, you know, a couple days after the trade, we learned that Preston Smith wanted to be traded due to the, you know, he didn't really feel like it was a scheme fit. I'm glad the Packers honored that. But they cleared a lot of money for not only, you know, 2025, but 2026. And I think they even gained $2 million on the salary cap this year. Yeah. And when you look at that, moves like this, it allows the Packers to go out and sign your Xavier McKinney's, sign your Josh Jacobs. So, you know, I know some fans are angry at the fact that, hey, we just lost the team leader. But hey, this guy wanted to be traded. It cleared a lot of money in the future. I believe he's a 32, 33-year-old player at this point, was the oldest player on our defense. I think he was the oldest player outside of Brandon McManus. So the Packers obviously continue just to go younger, go the younger route. And if that gets LVN, a 23-year-old player you dropped in the first round last year, more snaps, get him more acclimated to this defense, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, and I do think it makes the explanation easier to the rest of the locker room of like, hey, we traded away one of our locker room guys when he was the one who requested the trade, which again, I think makes it a lot easier for maybe the players in the locker room to swallow. All right, last but not least, before we get you out of here, again, we're joined right now by Alex Becerra of Bassaraski Productions on YouTube. Again, you can find him on Twitter at Bassaraski. Packers, Bears, what are you looking forward to this weekend? The biggest rivalry in all of sports.
I'm looking forward to a potential, you know, get right game by the Packers. I think this is a perfect game to get out of the bye, not only with, you know, what the Packers just had against the Lions. We have our bye week, Jordan Love hopefully getting a little bit more healthy. But then when you look at the Bears, I wouldn't be shocked that if Matt Eberflus isn't their coach when we play them. I don't think they've never fired a coach in season, but it does not look good there. I mean, we saw Caleb Williams go down 9 times. I think this is also a get-right game for our pass rush, and what a better time for that with LVN potentially getting more snaps with the trade of Preston Smith. I mean, they had so many injuries going into this game on that offensive line. Their inactives were Darnell Wright, Nate Davis, Braxton Jones, and Karan Amagaji, and I believe they lost Tevin Jenkins in that game as well. So I honestly don't know who they're going to have on that offensive line, but if the Packers can't find natural pass rush in this game, I really don't know when they will. But I'm excited to obviously continue this rivalry. I think it was crazy that we hadn't played them until, at this point, week 11 in the season. I don't know the last time that's happened, that we haven't played the Bears within the first 10 weeks, but I'm excited to finally see this. And like I said, the Bears kind of imploding. They have a lot of drops. They're also having a lot of continuity issues. They did get the run game going a few weeks ago against some pretty poor teams, but it's kind of back down to not that great anymore. So I think this is a good opportunity for the Packers to really build some momentum in the second half of the season.
Yeah, I just don't want to see them get any hope early in that game. Like, don't let Chicago go down and score an early touchdown or anything like that. Just snuff it up from the beginning, go get an early lead, and just don't even let them back into it, because this Bears offense is looking pretty terrible at the moment. All right, Alex, where can we find all of your incredible work, and tell us about the YouTube channel?
Yeah, so it's at Bacerski Productions on YouTube for everything Green Bay Packers throughout the week. I've been a Packers fan my whole life, so just like you, just like to sit down and talk Green Bay football, and then, of course, on Twitter, at Bacerski.
I appreciate that a ton. Thank you so much for joining. Again, make sure to follow him at Bacerski, and again, follow his YouTube channel, Bacerski Productions. When we come back, we're going to be going to the phone, so get those phone calls in at the Nicolay Law Fan Talk and Text Line, 414-677-1250. It's the Pack-A-Day Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.